Matthew, Matthew 5. And so this portion of scripture I know is familiar to many of you. It's where the Beatitudes are spoken of. And so I couldn't just read just the one. So seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." That's going to be our verse right there today. I'm not going to stop, though. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Heavenly Father, I pray that this word would just penetrate us, that it would be spiritually tattooed to us, that we would be able to not only hear this word, but share this word with others. Father, I pray that our spiritual fervor would increase. Father, I ask that you would just be with me this morning as I share your word. In the name I pray, amen. There, this account, the Sermon on the Mount, was given by Jesus to a crowd of a Jewish audience. And it's very Jewish in context. Its surroundings identify for us what the kingdom of Jesus would look like on planet Earth. This morning, I just want to just pull out like five things from that one verse. That's our that one verse that speaks to: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." That's what I want to get into this morning. So first of all, I want to speak to, we all hunger and thirst for spirituality. That's part of what it means to be a human being. Within each of us, that DNA that our Heavenly Father placed in us is a deep sense that there is more to life than the here and now. There's more than the material. There's more than the world as we see it, as we feel it, as we touch it, as we smell it, as we walk in it. We have this sense of transcendent of that supernatural, like Sarah said, that supernatural power. We can't do that on our own. That comes from Him. Our problem, however, as the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2, it says, and again, the main verse I want you to get out of this is the very first one. It says, "You were dead in the trespasses of sin." We were dead. It goes on to say, because I couldn't stop right there when I was reading this. So this is extra, all right? You don't have to pay me for this, all right? I'm just going to give this to you for free, all right? It says, in which once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out our own desires, doing what we want to do, doing worldly things, right? That's what this text is saying. Doing things, carrying out the desires of our body and our mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, when we were all jacked up, all right, that's what that's saying, when we were messed up, he loved us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with his hand and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. And that is not your own doing. We can't do it on our own. We're not equipped. It is the gift. Scripture says it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast, hey, look what I did. Look what I did. Salvation, I did that on my own. That verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what we're doing. Reach 907, right? He's equipping us for good works which God prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them. We often spend so much time and effort filling our life with stuff. And granted, there are good things. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with I need some other good examples. There's nothing wrong with going out fishing or hunting or enjoying nature. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with quilting and all of that. And all that's good. But we need to realize that we need to fill ourselves with him and not things of this world. Those things of the world aren't going to cut it. Only God can satisfy this hunger. Yes, we are born, we are created with this spiritual hunger, but only God can satisfy that hunger. You read in Psalms 107:9, He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. With good things. Have you ever been like, kind of like hungry, and you're just like, oh, I just got to have, maybe it's a Krispy Kreme donut. I don't know. That's my go-to, all right? Or maybe, you know, for me, I was in Anchorage this last week. I'm like, man, I haven't had me a Little Caesars in a long time. Some pizza, you know, the deep pan ones, you know? And although those things might satisfy a little bit, there's no way a hot dog can replace a filet mignon. There's no way a fish stick can replace an Alaska king crab. A hot pocket isn't going to do it. Our Heavenly Father is going to fill us with something good. be all comprehension. I mean, we're like, that was so good. And not only does it taste good, but it feels good. That's what he fills you with. That's what he provides for you. God satisfies the inner longings of our spiritual being. We could try to fill it with other things. But it'll fall short. It'll fall short every time. We do not naturally turn to God to fill us, which is that next point I want to bring up. We do not naturally turn to God to fill us up. You would think that since we are created with this spiritual hunger, right? And that only God can satisfy that hunger, that we would immediately and in natural course of events turn to God for that satisfaction. He's the one that gives us. He's the only one that can give us true satisfaction. So why are we going here and why are we going there? Why are we turning to things that can harm us more than help us? God's word says in Romans 3, 10 and 11, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. It says that Paul says there is nobody that is righteous. Not one single person, not me, not you, not those you, the televangelists that you see on TV, not them, not one is righteous. All of us, at some point turned away. But no. We desperately need righteousness, not of our own. We need something from God that we do not possess on our own. Romans 3:21-24 says this. But now God has shown us, and this is in the NLV translation. It says, but now God has shown us a way to be right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writing of Moses and the prophets long ago. And that to us, that right there should be reassuring to us, because there is a laundry list of laws that we had to keep. And we were failing, the Israelites, they were failing desperately at it. There's no way. It says in verse 22, we are made right. Let me go back. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. No matter who you are. No matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what genealogy you come from. Doesn't matter the pigmentation of your skin. It doesn't disqualify you if you're tatted up. If you got nose rings, it doesn't matter. You hear what he's saying? It's true for everyone. For everyone who believes. No matter who you are, for everyone has sinned, we have all fallen short of God's gracious, glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Ooh. All of us were born in sin. We all have turned to our own way. We cannot possibly live good enough to be accepted by our God. The wonderful news of the gospel is that through Jesus Christ, I can declare that I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I'm righteous in the sight of God. He says, I'm righteous. He says to me, JR, it's all good. Come here. Have a seat. Have a seat right here. I don't feel like I deserve to be able to sit right here. He says, come on, I've forgiven you. Those old things that people had to do before, you know, slaying a lamb and all that stuff, finding a bird or an ox, that's all old stuff. Just believe in me. And if you believe in me, I'll call you one of my own. The righteousness of God transforms our standing before God and changes our desire for God. Says therefore, there in Romans, it says, therefore, since we have been made right, this is the NLT, made right, or in the ESV or King James and others, it says justified in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. What he's done for us. We can have peace. My standing with God has changed when I trusted in him. He's like, you're no longer the JR that you were before. Woo! Amen. I'm glad you're not the JR you were before. Some people are still in, and some of you have seen people that knew me before. They came in like, man, he's got to work in you. Friends are saying, there must be a God if JR is in the Word and shared. There's got to be a God. Just by a simple virtue that I'm doing this, they believe. And I can have peace in knowing that I am in good standing with him. You too. Those of you who consider yourselves a child of God, you too are in good standing with him. He said, come on. Come on. Gather around me. You're in good standing. All of y'all, you have VIP seats. There are no nosebleeds. There's just something about being changed, being transformed. There was a pastor that shared this story from long ago, that this pastor was from England. And these two brothers had been caught stealing sheep. They got caught stealing sheep. And so in the day when you got caught stealing sheep, you were branded right on the forehead. S-T. Sheep thief. You were branded. So, these two brothers, now convicted and branded, one of them said, man, I have got to get out of here. He tried to run to a different place, some place that didn't know him, try to start a new life. He was always running. And then as soon as somebody saw the ST, they're like, oh, you're a sheep thief. He kept running and running from here and there, looking for peace. And finally, he came to his end. He died, and he died a very bitter man. Died a very bitter man. The other brother, he, instead of running, he said, I am just going to own my stuff. He said, yes, I stole sheep, but I'm going to turn it around. He saw Jesus Christ. He found that Jesus Christ is his Lord and friend. And he became a prominent figure in the community, helping people out, feeding people, attending the local parish there. People were in awe of him. One of the townspeople, a new person came in into town and said, hey, what does that ST stand for? What's that on his head? The other person that he asked said, I don't know. It's been so long ago. And he goes, it probably stands for saint. Jesus says happiness comes to those who are starved and desperately thirsty for righteousness, for they are the ones who will eat, drink, and be satisfied. He's saying, number one, that when by faith we believe in Jesus Christ and God forgives our sins, that there are reasons to be happy and to be satisfied. Happy and satisfied are our righteousness. Secondly, having received that righteousness, God begins to change our desires and transform our lives. The application of those of us who call him our Lord and Savior, when we're transformed, people will no longer look at you in the way that you were, but look at how you are now. And I trust that it's a positive thing, right? I am full to hear with him. I can't get enough of him. And I hope that's the same thing for you, that you can't get enough, that you're thirsty. And know that only he can quench that thirst. And you're saying, just give me more. I'm in love with him. Because there's no one on earth who has done more for me than him. I mean, I have a beautiful bride, right? But even still, he has done more for me than I can ever imagine. And I trust that each and every one of you feel the same way. I hope you are. It's something special. It's something unique. It's something that he gives you. So where are you at? Are you feeling it? Are you feeling his love? Are you feeling his righteousness? Because if you're not, you can change that. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, I don't know who is who is listening, or if the words I've shared this morning from my heart, from your word, from your word, would cause us to reevaluate where we're at in this life. Because your word says there's not one righteous, and that we've all sinned. But you have said that if you believe in me, I will call you one of my own. And I pray that each of us here would not run to other things to try to satisfy that nourishment, that spiritual nourishment that we need, that comes from you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who provided us a way to be able to sit at the table with our Heavenly Father. In your name I pray. Amen.